So chapter 6 now is one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. It gives us a picture of heaven. What's it like there right now? When God is on the throne. It says in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Notice first of all what he saw. He saw the Lord on the throne. This is when King Uzziah, the good king, died and was no longer on his throne. There was a crisis. And perhaps we need crises today so that we would be able to see God on the throne. When we feel like everything is in order, yeah, there's someone in control of whatever area of our life that we're worried about, then we have peace. But if we're trusting in man for that peace, what happens when that man dies? What happens when that man goes away? What happens when, or the woman? If you put your trust in man, God may allow a crisis so that you will put your trust in him. Revelation of the Lord. In John, Jesus said, "No one has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has revealed him." So could this be Isaiah is not seeing God the Father, but God the Son? We've seen other revelations of God in the Old Testament and connected them to Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus didn't begin to exist when he was born. He existed before he was born, and he revealed himself to the fathers. But here he is on the throne, and certainly in the New Testament, we see Jesus on the throne with his Father. Now, what is the response? When you see God in his holiness, do you know what happens to you then? You become aware of your sinfulness. If we're prideful, if we think we're good people, it's probably because we don't see how good God is. We need to compare ourselves with God. And Isaiah's reaction in verse 5 says, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." If you are in the Lord's presence and you're still in your sin, not washed in the blood of Jesus, you could be struck dead right there. Even in just the earthly tabernacle, which was just a picture of the heavenly temple, you could be struck dead. He's having a vision of the heavenly temple. Notice it says that in verse 2, that the train of his robe filled the temple. The Lord is high and exalted. We don't have time to mention all of the angels that are there, what they look like, the difference between seraphim and these different angels that have wings, but they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy." That's the character of God. We need to start with the character. The gospel begins with the character of God, that he is holy. And then it moves to the fact that we are sinful and separated from God. So we're looking at the judgment against people. And this is also Isaiah's call to be a prophet, or at least to continue being a prophet, because he had already been a prophet during the reign of Uzziah. Perhaps this is the time when God is saying, you need to continue. Maybe several, could be as many as 20 years that Isaiah has been prophesying, and there's been no fruit. Have you ever felt like, gosh, I wish there was more people in the church? Like, if we're really like doing our job as Christians, then there would be lots of people in the church, right? Well, not necessarily. God says to Isaiah, who was a man of God, who was sharing the word of God, in verse 9, he says, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing and never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." This was fulfilled in the New Testament as well, in Jesus. It says in Matthew 13 that the people of Judah, Israel, fulfilled these words by rejecting Jesus. They heard the parables that Jesus spoke and didn't understand it. They saw the Messiah, but didn't see him. They rejected him. If Jesus could be rejected, and Isaiah's message could be rejected by a whole generation of people, then we should be ready. Perhaps we are going to be rejected. That doesn't mean that you're not doing the right thing. In fact, if the world rejects you, it probably means you're doing the right thing, because the world cannot accept the message of God. So we're not here to be people pleasers, we're here to preach the message of the gospel. And if even if everyone rejects us, we shouldn't lose heart, we should still be obedient. And so Isaiah's question in verse 11, he says, "Then I said, for how long, Lord?" In other words, is there ever going to be a revival in my lifetime? How long am I going to have to give this message of condemnation? And the Lord says, until the cities lie ruined and are without inhabitant. In other words, they're not going to turn. I'm going to have to judge them eventually. And it wouldn't actually be until after Isaiah died. But in Isaiah and in Jeremiah's ministry, you don't see a lot of people responding to the Lord. And that can be normal. It's not right. It's their fault for not receiving the message. As long as we deliver the true message as it is, we're doing our job. God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He doesn't reward you on commission. You know, for every one believer you bring into the church, you get, you know, bigger mansion in heaven. No, He rewards you for faithfulness. And if you're faithful, God will draw people to your ministry. We all have a ministry, by the way. Isaiah, this was Isaiah's call to the ministry. The Lord said to him, I skip verse 8, he heard a voice, "Who shall I send and who will go for us?" He said, "Here I am, send me." Is that your heart's cry? Are you available to the Lord? The Lord is looking for someone to use. Are you there saying, "Well, here I am, send me, use me"? Why not? God wants to use us. God wants to use you. Make yourself available to Him. So Isaiah's ministry would last about 58 years. Imagine, 58 years of rejection.